This is Monday, June 13th, council meeting for the city of Shorters, 7 o'clock. And we will do talk 1.0, call to order, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCowen.
Present.
Alderman Snell.
Present.
Mayor Sanford.
Present.
Alderman Hoskins.
Present.
Alderman Knowles.
Present.
Mayor Quorum.
Yes. Will you stand for the president?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. On the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one indivisible.
We're going to move on to 3.0, special presentation. 3.1, report from the Parks Restoration Advisory Board on activities and budget.
Hi, my name is Kate Tickett. I am a member of the Parks Advisory Council. My part of the presentation today has to do with grants. We're currently trying to capture three specific grants. The first one is with the Port of Houston. It's a sponsorship. And it is a relatively simple grant of one page, but it has several questions on it that would require an okay from the council in regards to specifically will we provide maintenance of any equipment or services that they provide, like landscaping? Will we do our own maintenance? Will we do our own installation? And how will we recognize their sponsorship? What will we do to acknowledge it? And that could be as simple as putting a plaque on benches or the playground equipment that they might have donated funds to provide for our children in our community. The second grant is through the Texas Parks and Wildlife, and it actually is extensive. It's a 30-pager with a lot of various components that go with that. This grant is for small communities of 20,000 or less for up to $75,000. It provides for a 50-50 matching funds on a reimbursement basis. The sites that they support must be dedicated as parkland, and we must agree to have it open to the public and provide any maintenance needed to keep it in good shape and clean and a friendly place for everyone to go. The application itself is based on what's called a priority scoring system, and you get certain points for including all of the items as well as some of the items that are not starred. A permanent plaque or sign must be installed as acknowledgement to Texas Parks and Wildlife. And at a public hearing, the governing body must pass a resolution authorizing the submission of that application. This application is due October 1st, and it could take up to 5 months to find out what we were awarded, whether we got everything we asked or what. One of the things that's required is a topographic map, a current topographic map, and site maps. The next grant is the LNG funds, and I've got a big question mark there because at the beginning of the year we were told that they were going to provide $80,000 for playground equipment, and I don't know who's contacted about that. Most people don't just give you $80,000. They're going to want you to complete a sponsorship application. So we'd certainly be willing to do that if we knew who to contact. So I was hoping maybe someone on the council could assist us in following through with that funding. So the question is, well, what's funded? You know, what can we get? It is open. You can request splash pads, renovation of playground, a whole new playground, a circle trail around Circle Park, landscaping, pet stations, lighting, shade, boardwalks over wetland areas like we have at the Bayou Forest Park, a wildlife viewing station that they can build for us. So it's really open and it's so broad. And as we looked at that, we thought that it probably would be in the best interest if we didn't follow our own earmarked personal agendas for what we liked at parks, but if perhaps we would do a citywide survey in regards to what the community prioritizes for the needs for our parks. And we've developed a survey here that we are requesting you to take a look at, review, revise in any way you think is needed, and then assist us in regards to how we can disseminate it. So the needs assessment survey is ranked from highest to lowest, and you're to vote on 10 items from any one of the parks. It's not specific to Circle Park. So in your opinion, if you think that it's more important to have a boardwalk at the Bayou Forest Pocket Park, then you'd vote for that. So, you know, it's just to gather input from the community and really see. As it turns out, it is bonus points on the Texas Parks and Wildlife application also. And that Texas Parks and Wildlife application would require, you know, the site and topographic map to go with that. So what I'm asking council to consider, discuss, and perhaps if we need to look at this for our next meeting, that would be up to y'all to place on the agenda. But how the survey is going to be disseminated, how will the port be recognized for their sponsorship? When I complete the application from the port, I can include the fees of the topographic and the site maps that we really need to have, because we don't want to put anything, any of our money into something and it be underwater. So we want it to be up. Especially if we include any of the walkways that would connect the playground to another walkway so that we don't have to continually walk through high grass and wet water. And I also need a commitment from the council in regards to maintenance of anything that we, any funding that we access and purchase equipment, as well as whether the city would install the equipment, or like some of the other communities around us, when they hire these playground people to do their playgrounds and their parks, some of them are like us and are smaller communities and don't have the funding or the manpower to do all the installation. So they have something called supervised installation for a reduced fee, where the people that know, that are professionals at it and know what they're doing and how to set up the borders and the surfacing and all of that, would assist us with that. And the other item I would like to suggest is that as a community, we consider also writing into our grants for LNG and the port that 40% of that would be put in reserve for our 50-50 Texas Parks and Wildlife grant. And I'm going to turn it over to Anne, who's going to explain about our natural park.
One of the ideas that we were throwing around, because when you get a playground like we have now, the maintenance on it after a period of time becomes very laboring. We have to hire people. Public Works really can't do it. And so where cities are going nowadays are these natural parks. And I've passed around some pictures, they haven't made it down yet, of some of these natural play spaces. Basically, it's mounds with culverts, with slides, and things that won't take as much maintenance. You know, like all you have to do is mow and weedy, basically, on these particular things. And one of the things I did was is I drew up a concept, a master plan concept at Circle Park. This architectural drawing was done back in 04, 05. And so I just overlaid it to some of the ideas that we had. Like one of the ideas which she was talking about earlier was the concreted areas. That would be a concreted sidewalk going to there, so you have access to the ball field. And then also one going across here. You know, it's all going to be depend on funding, of course. And then this is where we had decided to put the natural play area, just not far from where the play area is now. So anyway, that's the concept that we had come up with. And also extra parking, because Circle Park has issues with parking. And so we were thinking on the south side to hopefully trying to add some parking over there. So this is just a concept that we had come up with that we were hoping that it would pass, or we could look at in the future. So if you want to look at that, there's that. And then Diane's book.
And the last thing we have is our budget for this year. And it's a small budget. It's this paper here. And the first thing I would like to talk to you about is the Circuit Park long-term goal of state covered pavilions. And we recommend that council set up matching funds account for the park donations that are being sent in by citizens and earmark that money to go towards the building of the Circle Park covered pavilion. And this fund is also helpful for grants. So if we have 600 in the till from people this year, would the city consider putting in 600 matching and that stay in that fund and we work towards that? That's the big thing, and that would be a long-term goal. We might put it in a five-year plan, or it might have to go to a 10-year plan, but at least it would be something to work towards when we have chili cook-offs and the Civic Association or anybody that would want to donate some funds to the park. If they put them in as contributed by the citizens, then maybe the city would come in and match it, and it would start to grow. But that's just a recommendation. We have some smaller things here for maintenance for the parks for this year, and I've kind of divided them up by park. For Circle Park, Ken mentioned that we cannot go forward with our grants without a survey. We need these topographic and site surveys. And these are just estimates, but I think it's around $700 to do that. And I would like for council to please consider that, because that is really necessary for us to do any of our grant work. Another thing is the tennis court really needs to be repaired. The wire and everything is broken loose at the bottom, and I think that's around $300. And then what Ann talked about was the repair, replacement, or maintenance of the playground equipment. And we recommend that you replace that aging playground equipment that is so expensive with a natural playground. There's one at Pine Gully Park that Seabrook has done. Kids love to play on it. It's low maintenance, and you can hardly tear it up. It's very pleasing to the eyes, too, instead of plastic and all this stuff. So that's our recommendations for Circle Park. We have a couple of recommendations for Miramar and Shell Beach particularly. Perhaps we can have two benches, one on either side of the oleanders there at Shell Beach, up on the grass part. And the other thing would, we would like to get some oyster shells in the parking area. Since it is Shell Beach, we ask for oyster shells. And also we would like to extend and replace the bollards and the rope that is along there. Maybe extend it a little bit further down. That's what blocks the people from driving on there. we'd like to fill in the large potholes there and do that. For Heron Park, we ask that you continue the Friends of Heron Park donation that you give us each year to maintain the trails. For Bayou Forest Park, there is a crossover, and a lot of people aren't familiar with that park. It's on the south end of Bayou Forest Drive. It's water, and there's a little bitty, narrow crossover to a big part of land that's out there in the water that's accessible during low tide. But if this were made a nicer crossover that we could use it during high tide, it'd be really nice for the, I think the people all around would like to use that area. And on page 2, I have a couple of things. For all of the parks, perhaps some plastic containers that hold bags for, you know, doggy poop and whatever. We have these new trash bins that have wooden posts, the blue trash barrels, and those little things can just attach on there. So, you know, you can fill them with recycled bags, or you can actually purchase bags, but it's just the little container that's there so people can go get one and pick it up and dispose of it. And then the other thing is, it's been brought to our attention that people don't really know where our parks are, a lot of people, and when they come in here. So our recommendation is that perhaps we have some signs out at Shore Acres Median, one at the front where it would go down to Bayou Forest Park, one where Heron Park is on Bayou Drive, and then the other one would be for Circle Park. That's just a recommendation, but we were asked to come up with some things for the budget and, you know, what you can do. I know we really have to watch our money this year, but we have volunteers that will do a lot of the work if we can just get some of the material. So thank you for your time, and I appreciate it. Oh, I wanted to show you one thing. When you look at this little drawing here on the back, if you look right here, this is where the pavilion would go, that we would put the money. And you can see it's kind of red. It looks like it's got Y's on each end. It doesn't interfere with any of the ball games, ball fields, or anything. It's it wouldn't interfere with the playground. Here's the tennis court. It wouldn't interfere with the parking. And if you notice, there's a yellow thing all the way around. That is a future path or walk all the way around that Circle Park, which would be really nice when it rains, and also for joggers and things. And if you are interested, we're more than welcome to come talk to you some more. We'll talk to you anytime. Just call us, okay? We're available. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
We are going to move on to item 4.0. Council reports and requests. 4.1.2, items of community interest. Nikita this weekend. It went over pretty well. We also have the fishing tournament coming up on the 25th. You can register anytime up until the tournament day by contacting me or anybody on the board of directors for the Pier Association. David Tidwell was elected on the board of directors for the Pier Association. And that's about all I have for items of community interest right now. We have the next item, 5.0, public hearings and public comments. 5.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council, and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law from participating in discussion or deliberation of items not specifically identified on this agenda. We have 5.2. Questions concerning, I'm sorry, if anybody has anything to say, we'll start over here.
Before we is there the air conditioner?
Yes,
yeah, a little bit reset.
Hey, you're skinny.
Good job, Will.
In the queue.
Angela's going to have to open the door and do like that.
Thank you all for letting me speak. I'm a terrible speaker and a word writer, so that's how it goes. Mayor Sanford, this is just my two cents worth.
Is he on the track?
Did you need to address all the council?
Mayor Sanford and
y'all.
Okay. This is just my two cents worth. I'm neither here to offend nor attack or threaten you. This is just something for you to think about. I don't think you should be our mayor. Neither should I, nor most of the people here. You have a lot of drive, energy, and charisma. However, conflict, compromise, and criticism is what being a mayor is largely about, bringing out the bad side of you, and you often lose control. Your good side is very good, but unfortunately your bad side is very bad. This is true of many people who are passionate about their pursuits. There are many people in this city who believe what are you trying to do, and particularly how you are trying to do it, is bad for the city. They are willing to fight you, humiliate you, and tear you down to protect you. They don't want to. They are good people. You can't beat them. There are too many, and they are not going to stop. Just ask any politician. They do not wish you any ill fate. They simply don't want you to be mayor. There has been much fighting among neighbors. People fighting for you, as well as those fighting against you, have had friendships strained and lost. Many on both sides have been hurt. The only people who are happy with this city right now are those who are oblivious to it all. I'm sure this is not what you want. Regardless of how badly you wanted to be mayor, it is very self-destructive to you, and consequently destructive to the city. Nobody wants to continue like this. I'm sure you don't either. And I doubt you want your bad side to continue being what many people's image of you. You're the only one who can stop this. You can step down graciously and honestly say I meant well and I tried. Everyone will think highly of you for doing so. Go home, truly relax, get a good night's sleep. Or you can begin an endeavor which your strengths will help you excel. Hopefully you will use them to be a positive, constructive part of this neighborhood as you've done in the past. You have much potential, but we must all play to our strengths and not our weaknesses. Wounds will heal more rapidly than you might think. Or we can all just keep on fighting each other. Everyone loves a good redemption story. Thank you.
Anybody else?
You're next. Okay.
Can you name an address for the record?
Madam Assembly, 3518 Middlemont Drive. I'm here tonight to discuss the drainage issue of my backyard. This problem has already been fixed and I have photos and videos of it. I'm interested to know why we're here tonight. Very few people know the truth about this problem. So I would like to start it by saying this problem wouldn't have started if I had hired honest contractors. However, when I first heard about this problem, I have offered both Barry and Gary to get it done at my expense, but they refused. Even so, that one of them does that for revenue, and he was the cause of the problem. Last time I was here, I didn't get to say what I needed to. But I informed Chief Harrison that this problem will be fixed when I get my pool built. And that's exactly what I did. Even so, I was sued by Barry for non-sense accusation about my own, me owing him $1,500 for something that he built on his property. Has nothing to do with the problem. And he lost, of course. Neither one of them have told me that they are coming here tonight to talk about me. I just haven't found out. Just like all the other times that they come here talk about me without my knowledge. So I just hope that tonight we can stop this nonsense and maybe they can find something different to fulfill their time. Thank you.
Patrick Stanton, 128 Shady Lawn. I've given each one of you a copy of a letter. I'm going to read it. Subject Audit Committee. My 2-year term as a member of the Audit Committee expires June 30th, 2016. I resigned from the committee at the date of expiration. Because as I understand, David said, you know, unless you resign, you continue on the committee, unless you resign. So I'm resigning. Resolution number 2010-27 is not effective as written. That's attached to the second page. The committee has not met twice annually for Section 3 as required, nor have we received a copy of the audit 8 months after the fiscal year end. I think that's a travesty. I recommend that the council eliminate the audit committee or revise Resolution 2010-27 in line with those in businesses. I've enclosed for your consideration those roles and responsibilities per a business model. Now, the main difference in a business model than what we have, the audit committee is picked by the board of directors. Anyone that's operating does not, anyone that's an operating officer, they don't choose the audit committee. They don't choose who audits. They don't choose what kind of audit. Then right now, the recommendation is made by Mr. Stahl. But the audit, he shouldn't even be on an audit committee as far as I'm concerned. He can certainly attend. But the person that makes the recommendation to council should not be an operating person. Well, that person controls the money. You know, when a financial officer leaves, first thing that happens, they audit the books. And you say, well, I trust David, and I do trust David. But he shouldn't be the one calling the shot about who audits and how and so on and so forth. Now, we recommended last year, or he recommended to council, that you continue the auditors that you have. And we were paying him $33,000 a month. $33,000 in total. David said El Lago pays $15,000 for an audit. Plus, there are different kinds of audits. We don't have to have the same kind of audit every time. There's external audits, internal audits, Forsenic audits, public sector audits, tax audits, information systems audits. That's one I think we ought to do. I mean, we're putting everything on the computer and people can come in and steal the information of all the citizens and also can jack around with the books. Environmental and social audits, compliance audits, and the value for money audits. So there's a lot of different kinds of audits, and I think the audit committee should be established not to include any operating officer, and also should make recommendations to the council. Thank you. Number two, one of my neighbors asked me to advise the council that there was an alligator in the ditch over next to the yacht club, and people on Bay Colony have been missing cats. So you might want to watch the next time we have a rain. The last thing I'd like to speak to is the election. The election's over, folks. You people have sent out nasty things about each other anonymously. I've got no respect for you. If you didn't vote, tough stuff. You get what you vote for. I don't necessarily agree with everything the council has done in the past, nor our former mayor. But nevertheless, he ran, he served, she ran, she served. Let's give her a chance. This is ridiculous. Voting's over. She's been elected. Thank you.
Darling Gamble Bay, 6 not going to complain about the mosquitoes because we know we all have them, our ditches. But a couple weeks ago, there was a gathering at Heron Park. It was a nice gathering. The sun came out, the rain stopped. Several came out to enjoy the friendship. Could have been more if more people would have known about it. There was no one from council there. The city was not represented. Some people didn't know about it. They don't drive by City Hall and look at the sign, or they don't look at the back of their water bill. I would like to see, and I have said before, that the telephone system that we have to let people know of chemical spills or water line breakage be utilized a little bit to let people know that there is an event going on. A lot of people don't even know that Heron Park exists. And I'm all in favor of parks. Wayne loves parks. And I feel like it should be advertised more. And if we have a telephone system that can do that, I didn't understand why we can't use it. Okay. Secondly, there is a vacant lot behind me, and I have complained for years. Taxes haven't been paid on since the mid-90s. So as of two, 3 years ago, the school district assumed it with the city of Shoemakers second. And the neighbors next door keep the front part clean. But the fence line that is on the other side of my wooden fence is overgrown. I mean, it's coming through my wood boards, and my fence is leaning. In fact, I think it's past help, but it's going to be coming down. And I don't think it's my responsibility, because I've already replaced quite a few boards on it, to repair something that the school district and the city own. And they can't seem to get together, so I'm going to council to ask for it to be looked at, something done, sprayed. I'm not saying completely maintain it, but if I can get it down to where I can maintain it, I'll be glad to. But I don't feel like I can go back there and subject myself to poison ivy and snakes and whatever else is back there until it's maintained a little bit. And then finally, this is very hard to say, but I am so hurt and so ashamed of my community. I've been here for and I have never, ever seen such division in our town. So much hate and so much, I don't know what. And the election is over. The people spoke. Whether your side won or your side lost, it's over with. We need to deal with it. Give Tim a chance. And if it's not what you want in 2 years, then run. But this hatred has got to stop people. I mean, it's bad. We're, how can I say, a laughingstock of the surrounding towns. And that's not good. That's not good. Thank you.
Kendall Pickett, 322 Seagrove. I just want to say that I'm want to support agenda item 7.4 regarding the police department on Nextdoor. I think Nextdoor is a much better platform than Facebook, primarily because Nextdoor verifies that the people that are on Nextdoor live within this community, whereas Facebook doesn't have the same degree of verification. So I've got to say, thank you.
John Kuhn, 525 Baywood. I'd also like to talk about 7.4. There are several avenues for us to get information within the city. I like to get the information. I, however, am not afforded the opportunity to have the avenues, one reason or another. I like the Nextdoor app. I also like Facebook. Whichever one's going to be used, everybody within the city ought to have access to it, no matter who runs it, no matter who's using it. I support 7.4. I think the Nextdoor is the best way to do it. We can respond back. We can have conversation with each other. We can't necessarily talk right back to the police department when they issue information. Thank you.
I'm Taylor Messer, 513 Shade One. I want to also speak about 7.4. You know, I don't know all the drama that's going on within the city. I'm a fairly new resident here. I just bought a house not too long ago. But I do know that since I've been here, there has been a tragedy that happened, and I would not have known about it without the Nextdoor app. I think it's a great way to get information about what's going on, and I trust police officers. They're out here to help us. There's no reason for them not to be helping us. I think they do a lot of great things, and they're here to protect us, and they do a lot of great things in the city. That's all I have to say.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat your name? I didn't catch it.
Taylor Messiger.
Messiger?
Yes, sir. 513 Shady Lawn.
Thank you.
David Serrini, 3316 Miramar. I'd like to address the item that was just discussed three times prior. I think as an official deal, I would like to have the police have their own official method of communication, whether it be their own Facebook page or something, and utilize as a secondary method of communication the Nextdoor app. I don't think it should be their official method unless they have control of how it's run, because I think that there are agendas on all of these pages. Every single method that's out there has its own agenda. So if the police have their own official method of disseminating information and then use that as a segue to provide additional information, I support that. That's my personal opinion. I'm going to go on to another issue that affects me directly and brought up mosquitoes earlier. I've been asking councils since my wife and I moved into the city since 2008, and this has been since Ike. I have had 5 official times in front of council, 3 times in front of our city manager, which actually makes 8, and then twice in front of our public works director, which actually makes 10, and now makes 11. To get the 3,300 block of Miramar's ditches cleaned up. I don't think that that is a golden faucet or some kind of crazy nonsense to ask for. And it has been 11 times over 7.5 years, and it has fallen on deaf ears. I have one side of me that has a ditch that holds water for 2 to 3 weeks beyond a rainstorm. So now we have Zika virus, and then we have West Nile. I sit there with ditches in front of me that are filled with water that don't go anywhere. I really think that's not an unreasonable request. We're asking for other things. We spend money like we got it. I've been asking for this for 7.5 years. It's fallen on deaf ears. I'd like it done. I'd like it to be something that gets on an agenda, and it should be citywide. It should not just be mine. We have a floodplain administrator. I would submit that probably 80 or 90% of the homes in this community are prior built to our introduction into the firm, which means that ditches are probably the number one method of controlling flooding on houses other than through hurricanes. We do secondary is going to be building code enforcement by raising houses, electrical, plumbing, all of that. But the majority of the homes pre-exist the firm actually by many, many years. And so I would ask that the city takes a response in getting the ditches cleaned up. It is just not mine. I talked to neighbors behind me on Meadowlawn. I'm just about any street and the ditches are failing or malfunctioning or flowing backwards. Everybody's yard, including the previous mayor, J.L. Washington, his yard was filled with water. It's on the new owner now. It's like, let's get it done, folks. Not rocket science. Thank you for your time. I support and I'm glad that all of you are here on council. Congratulations to each and every one of you for winning.
And Leo Gonzalez, 3320 West Street. Just want to say, Mayor Sanford, congratulations. And I want to also address that you remove your Facebook page. I mean, it's not open to the public. It's been kind of secret for a while. That was fine when you weren't mayor, but now that you are mayor, it has to be open to the public, right? It's for all of us to be able to see. I support the Next Door Group page, back to blue, and I think it's great. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
I would like to speak, if you don't mind. Lee Thomas, 3416 Sunrise Drive, 7.4. I do support the Next Door app. Me being one of the probably few of you guys in here that are banned from the Facebook group page, whatever we're going to call it, I wouldn't know half the information that goes on in the city if it wasn't for Nextdoor. You know, anything from a missing cat to dog to, you know, the thing that happened with Addie, you know, God forbid it happened. You know, if it wouldn't have been for Nextdoor, I would have never known. You know, here we're supposed to be a community, all is one. But when you're a band, you do not feel like you're part of a group. We are all entitled to our own opinions. You know, I know I am pig-headed. I am stubborn. I was raised that way. You know, you stand up for what you believe, you go for it. You know, you may not always agree with what I have to say. You know, you're entitled to argue back with me. You know, meet me in the front yard. We can chit-chat, have some sweet tea. You know, I don't drink, but, you know, hey, we'll go at it. Not responsible for mosquito spray, by the way. But anyway, so I totally agree with Nextdoor. I'm just really heated about the Facebook thing. But anyway, so yeah, totally agree with Nextdoor. I think it's probably the best way to get information out there. I don't have time to sit in front of the computer and check, you know, like ShoreAcres.com or whatever the, you know, the bulletin board website is. Nextdoor is just a little, you know, ching, and then you have your information right there. Regardless of you're in a meeting, in the bathroom, you know, mowing the yard, everything is right there in your pocket versus having to sit at a computer and, you know, access everything because I don't have time for that. But anyway, so yeah, I wish that you would reconsider them using the Nextdoor app. I find it the best tool, but that's just my opinion. Thank you.
Jerry Victor, 3346 Miramar. Crystal, I talked about your option, Facebook, the Nextdoor. Well, I propose you table that for a month and give it a good look over. From my perspective, it's a communication tool, but what about patrolmen? He's on patrol. I don't want him sitting in the car somewhere Facebooking half the time. And neither do I want the sergeant up there in his office messing around with Facebook. They can do their thing once a day or whatever, but it's a time occupier. And anybody who has Facebook or Nextdoor knows that. So I'm asking council
table it for a while until you've had more opportunity to search it. Now, if you've already done it, fine. Hold on. Concerning what Patrick mentioned about the audit committee, I'm the other citizen member of the audit committee. And you all seen the three-page letter that I sent you recently. I won't go over it. It pretty well affirms everything that Patrick mentioned. Need a lot of attention or drop the citizens off the committee. That's it. Thank you very much.
Is there anybody else for public comment? We're going to move on to public hearing for public comment 5.2. Questions concerning an ongoing drainage issue involving 3510, 3518, 3522 Miramar Drive, Gary Plant, and Gary Manuel.
Thank you. Well, we won't talk about Facebook or Nextdoor or about the mayor. Congratulations. But we will talk about what Mahir had talked about with the drainage issue. I do agree that it's an issue that needs to be fixed. I don't agree that it's fixed. I believe that it's a homeowner's responsibility to control water, watershed from his property to the city provide culvert. I'm at 3522. Gary's at 3510 Miramar. Have a little handout, a little one-page summary for those of you that weren't involved with the presentation back in September. I think I gave you guys too many down here. Sorry. Give your name back here. You just pass that down. I wouldn't be here if we didn't have a drainage issue, but I'm here because we have a drainage issue that hasn't been fixed. So what I've got here is just a little summary. I'm going to walk you through the summary. Then I gave you some questions in advance I'd like for you to answer because I just want to get it resolved, want to get it behind me and move on and be done with this. But just to kind of go over you, I'm going to go from top to the bottom. You'll see the three homes that we're talking about here. 2010, 3522 Miramar was built. It was built with the drainage system. Built into it, catch basins that flow all the way to the front of the city provided drainage system. It's tied to the drainage system. There's no surface water intrusion. There was no surface water intrusion at the lot next door at the time that the house was built. In 2014, 3510 Miramar was built. That's Gary's home. And all the surface water from his property went to the front of the building just like it's supposed to. Both of us complied with the requirements to take surface water to the city provide the drainage. Then in late 2014, 3518 was built. And at the time it was built, about 80% of the water from the backyard flowed onto 3510, that's Gary's, and 3522. So between us both, we get the brunt of the drainage system. About 20% of it, to estimate, I don't have any water flow calculations or flow meters, but it's pretty clear that most of it came through here. I notified Mr. Stahl of the issue after having many discussions with Mr. Mahir that he needed to fix it. It's been going on for a year and a half, a 1.5 years problem. Was no action taken. I think Mr. Stahl suggested maybe I ought to have a civil suit against Mr. Massoud to resolve the issue. Then in May 2015, the city resources were used to install a culvert underneath the driveway of his driveway to address the problem that was created by a driveway that was installed but not approved. He installed a driveway, it wasn't approved, so we used city resources to take water away from the front easement underneath his driveway to the drain that he had put a dam around, basically by the installation of his driveway. In June of 2015, I had so much surface water flow from his property to my property, almost flooded my garage. I had a YouTube video. I presented it to you at council. It's an amazing amount of water that's coming over on my property. I had no choice but to install a concrete dam on my side of the property just to prevent the water flow and cut the risk of water infiltration over to my side of the property. It was at my expense because I wasn't getting anywhere. Now, by me damming up my water, I have to tell you that Mr. Manuel ends up getting most of the water over his side because he can't come over my side to the dam that I put in to protect myself. I do have a little bit of water infiltration where my dam stopped to the east of my house, but I didn't pour the whole concrete down. But I'm getting some of it. Very little of the water flow from his back surface water is going up to the city provider easement. It's either going about 80% over to his yard. I did this presentation to the city council. Didn't get any response from the city council. I did get notes from the mayor. Said, yeah, we'll look into it, get back in. Nothing ever happened to it. Same thing with Nancy. Don't recall any feedback at all. So it's just like I'm dealing with the problem caused by construction of a new home. Just for it, put money into it to protect myself. I don't think it's right. Then in April 2016, Mr. Masood saw a swimming pool. And that even makes the matter worse because he's essentially blocked the flow of what water was going to the front by the swimming pool. I think Gary might be able to speak to that and kind of give you a little bit more detail, Gary. So why don't you go ahead and discuss the drainage pool.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have enough pictures for everybody to have one, but you can pass them down because they're very explicit. And you'll see the sand that came out of the yard after it was graded, after the pool was built, and possibly it's in my yard, all of it. So that tells me that the water's coming into my yard. You'll see it goes all the way to the street and ends up in the bank. My big question is, I'm a victim here. How can a pool be permitted and approved when there's 25 feet between the house and my fence and there's only 3 feet left to drain 7,000 square feet in a backyard? That didn't work to start off with. It's not working now. These were taken in April, right after the final grade was done. My neighbor can say it worked. Picture is worth 1,000 words. I just don't understand why it is. The onus is on me and Barry to correct it. Now, initially, there was some talk about there was a engineered topo. And I understand that the city can't go across that. The drainage has all been changed. The elevations have been changed at the time of the pool. I also have another picture, if you care to see it, of dirt being spread around in the yard, changing the elevation. So once that's changed, the pool is approved. It's all been changed, and now the water all comes to my yard. There's no way for it to get out. There's no way. That's all I can say about it. I'm at your mercy.
Thank you, Gary. And I would think that if you were to contact the city building inspector, Laddie Lamb, he would tell you positively that there's a drainage problem. There's no question about it. Here's a question about it. I think we ought to get somebody there that is unbiased and can clearly see that it's a problem. But today, 3/4 of the water ends up going to his yard. I get about 10% of it. I'm about ready to complete the dam. It takes me all the way to the end if we can't get it done. So, it's an issue. It's really disappointing how a new home can be built and with total disregard for people's property. So I've got 5 questions here I submitted to Mr. Stahl. I'll go one by one and see if you would be willing to answer them. So first question is, what is the city's position? You either ignore the issue or require them to comply relative to the enforcement of an obvious drainage problem at 3510. If it's not enforceable, just tell us it's not enforceable and include it in the minutes. So is it enforceable?
Well, the city's role in regulating the flow of surface water on private property and thereby taking enforcement action is limited. Drainage requirements at the time to do home construction. To the extent the city does regulate the water flow by requiring the property's drain to the city's street right-of-way at the front of the homes. There are no outstanding compliance issues at 3510, 3518, or 3522 Miramar.
Oh, but there are. We have a brand new pool.
Mayor Sands, point of order.
Point of order.
Yes. Are we supposed to be taking, Mr. Stowe, supposed to be taking questions during this period?
Because it's on the agenda, he's allowed to answer some questions. I had asked David Stahl prior to if he was comfortable with answering these questions.
I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. But when it was changed, all bets are off. It's been changed. It does not work. So we can't go back to the original engineer. He signed off on it. That's gone.
I understand what you're saying. But what I'm saying is we don't play a regulatory role in surface water once the construction is finished and the engineer has certified to us that the drainage was improper.
Once it was changed, there has not been an engineer certify anything.
I completely agree with that.
Okay.
But that's not a compliance issue we deal with. That becomes then an issue between the private property owners.
Whoa.
That's awesome. Since the discussion might I leave
from the back. That's up to the mayor. It's up to you.
Absolutely.
Wait. Let me finish here, okay?
Sure.
You say there's a non-compliance issue. Next time it rains, you can come up and open your eyes and look at all the water flowing, okay?
Sure.
It is a compliance issue.
I have it here, all the videos.
All right, this is probably not going to... I probably wasted my time to go through the rest of the questions, but I'm going to go through them. Does the city agree that the drainage is not compliant with the TWC, and will the city provide documentation of that?
The city has no role in making a determination.
Okay.
Relating to the natural flow of surface water or its diversion, impound, or inflow.
Okay. So next one is, why has the city allowed the installation of the swimming pool, which creates the diversion of the watershed onto the property, thereby exacerbating noncompliance to TWC 11086, as well as damaging the assets to this property? What are the city's obligations? So you're saying that you can prove a structure to be done with total disregard of what damage it might have to somebody else's? That's what you're saying?
The city issued a building permit for a swimming pool. The city is obligated to issue a building permit when a structure is permitted under the city's zoning regulations and the plans submitted are in compliance with the city's building codes. The city does not take under consideration compliance with the Texas Water Code Chapter 11 in the issuance of any building permit. It is not in our jurisdiction.
So you're saying that you can't force, you can't. So the only remedy that a homeowner has, like us, is to build concrete dams around our property. This is what we're going to do. The only way then he can stop it is to put some type of dam all the way across his property and let Mr. Masood deal with the problem that he's created. That's exactly the only solution that we have. And then we have to do it at our expense.
Well, you have civil remedies, and the civil remedies would allow you to recover your costs in enforcing that. Just the city's not a party to that.
Well, how do I prove noncompliance? I need to have a document that says it doesn't comply. He's going to bring his video, I'll bring my video, we get nowhere.
There's nothing within the city of Short Acres jurisdiction that it's out of compliance with.
Amazing. Okay.
That does not mean it does not happen, and it does not mean that it does not injure you or your property. And that you have damages that you can recover for. It's just that the city does not have a compliance issue there.
Okay. I guess the rest of this stuff is just totally, you know, what's your recommendation? Take them to court, to continue the court battle?
Well, you did and you lost.
I didn't lose. It's open. It's an open court case, and we're going to be back at it again, Mayor. You know, the fact of the matter is, I just need to find out, get objective evidence. This is totally absurd to me how something could go. And so that's all I got to say. Thank you for your time.
Next is 6.0 administrative report. 6.1. Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like to respond?
Well, they already left, but I have the videos and photos if you guys want to look at it. I don't mind. I think it's special for you. I went out in the rain. Got soaking wet, so I can get that special. Or you'll have it the last 2 days. Last 2 days. It was yesterday? You know, yesterday was...
It's a civil matter that you probably need to work out outside
of
the city council.
Yes,
just
answer to the accusation, because they always come here and talk about me behind my back, so this time I come in. So.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Next, 6.0, administrative report. 6.1, general activity report to the administrator, David Stahl.
Good evening. First item I have is West Country Club Drive Sewer Line Project Update. We have a lot of new faces, so you may very much be aware or not.
We had a very major trunk lines sewer pipe on West Country Club north of Chargers Boulevard that failed in November of last year. We bypass pumped. We contracted that work out. It took an exceedingly long amount of time to get the work started, but it's now about 80% complete. All the surface work is done. Those of you that travel on West Country Club, I hope you're as pleased as I am with the restoration of the concrete surface. The underground work of pipe bursting and upgrading that has been completed. We have about 2 weeks waiting yet for the crew to come out and do the cured in place. And that will inflate a fiberglass liner inside of the existing concrete pipe that is at risk of hydrogen sulfide damage in the future, and this will solve that problem. So we have a new HDPE sewer line, and where the old line is at, it's mechanically in good condition. We're going to inflate a liner inside of that that's fiberglass, and then we'll have about 1,600 feet of sewer pipe that will outlast all of us in the room. So we're not done. It looks done. There'll be no more underground work, no more digging. They'll be able to install that cured-in-place liner through the existing manholes. So there'll be a crew out there, hopefully in 2 weeks. We're about 2 weeks out, and they'll do that work. It'll only take them 3 days, and then we'll be done. That's all I have on 6.1. Any questions?
Yes. Why are we waiting 3 weeks?
It's a scheduling issue on the contract.
I thought maybe it was just
are this is what I
no.
Okay. Sorry.
Are we ready for
6.1.2 changes
fee limits update. Okay. As you know, Harris County Commissioner's Court issued a Commissioner's Court order that will change our residential speed limits to 20 miles an hour. The exceptions to that, of course, are the ones that are old 146, the feeder roads. We also, Planning and Zoning Commission in the city of Short Acres, designated thoroughfares, which are Short Acres Boulevard between Broadway, old 146, and Sunrise from Short Acres Boulevard to Baywood, and Baywood from Sunrise to Miramar. And those street segments will be 25 miles an hour. All the other residential streets will be 20. We've ordered the sign. They're due to be delivered on Wednesday of this week. And then, sitting on manpower, we'll start putting those signs up. We've got 20 mile an hour signs to put up and 625. So those speed limits will automatically become effective as soon as the signs are erected. Right now, you're under the existing speed limits, just as an enforcement position, but we're really close to getting those new speed limits up, and we'll reacclimate everybody to drive a little slower. Questions? Yes, sir.
Yes. If I may, the current 20-mile-per-hour speed limit signs are enforceable now, correct?
That's correct.
So we can enforce on Miramar.
We can enforce Miramar. We can enforce
on Horace.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Correct. That is correct. And they'll phase in. As we put signs in, they'll become effective wherever those signs are at. 6.1.5, Short Acres Boulevard and Westview Sewer Line Failure. Council, remember last couple meetings I talked about having a similar problem where the forced main from List Station 3 discharges into the manhole as did the intersection of Short Acres Boulevard and Westview. And then downstream from that, we lost top of pipe and there was a void under the street. And we were keeping our fingers crossed that we could finish West Country Club and know what that was going to cost us, what the final cost was, because that is not a fixed price. That was a unit pricing. We know we're going to come in under budget. We want to see how much would be left to allow us to work on this next project. Unfortunately, it didn't wait on us. About 5 o'clock Friday, it failed, so we have a sinkhole. It's not structurally safe for traffic to travel on Short Acres Boulevard. We barricaded that. We set up some temporary detour signs. Today visited with Harris County Precinct 2. Short Acres Boulevard is a county road, and so we will have to comply with their construction requirements, which means we'll have to get a permit from Harris County to do the work, both the sewer work and the street restoration work. We also will have to submit a traffic management plan that is sealed by a professional engineer. That work has begun, and then the signs in compliance with that traffic management plan will be put up. We anticipated this work. We knew it was coming. On Thursday, before we had the failure, which had taken a week and a half to schedule, we had the city engineer, we had the contractor on site, the public works director. They all inspected the site and were scoping out the work so that we could get a bid on that project. It also would be HGAC unit pricing. That's being put together, so that started in advance of the collapse. And so we'll have that price. We have that price, then I'll be able to come back to council and tell you where we are and appropriate funds, which hopefully mostly will be covered by the fact we didn't have to do well pointing on West Country Club, which saved us about $40,000. This is a much smaller line. It's only an 8-inch line. In scoping the work with the engineer, it looks like the thing to do is to come 100 feet west of the existing manhole in the intersection, which goes past the collapse, and to put a manhole in. When they put that line in, they did it super budget, which means that there's only the manhole at Westview, and the next manhole is right here at this intersection of Byway. And that is a very long run of sewer pipe where you would normally do about 400 feet, 500 feet between manholes. So if we come 100 feet, then we can get good pipe, and we'll put brand new pipe between those two manholes. And then sometime in the future, we can look at whether we want to do cure in place. The erosion of the pipe is caused by the churning of the wastewater in that manhole in the middle of the intersection, and that generates the hydrogen sulfide gas that condenses on the top of the pipe, turns into sulfuric acid, and eats the concrete away. This is an 8-inch pipe, so it's just a small pipe. It is not even reinforced, so there's no steel in it like the big pipe we had on West Country Club. So it'll be more economical to replace. In looking at that then, the problem that we had on Oakdale, where that line fed to Oakdale and Shoreacres Boulevard, has the same problem because it's the same gas and the same pipe. It's also 8-inch. So we're looking at replacing that pipe all the way between those two manholes and doing that with pipe bursting like we did on West Country Club. And again, a much smaller pipe, should go pretty quickly. Today, Mike Fisco, having been a longtime resident of Shore Acres, sent a full crew out today to televise that line for us so that we can see the nature of the collapse and what we have. The good news, bad news is that the segment on Westview is under concrete street instead of asphalt. So that's good news and bad news. If we can pipe burst all that, we won't have to disrupt that service, and that's what we'd like to do. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at replacing both of those pipes 100 feet down Shoreacres Boulevard and from manhole to manhole in Westview. And as soon as we get pricing and we know what funds we have available, then I'll come back with a little action plan. I'm going to move on that as quickly as we can. The county is going to expedite permits and work with us on emergency permits to get that ball rolling as well. The biggest hitch in that is that depending on how we do the Shore Acres Boulevard portion, the county is going to require us to do the base. They may require us to go from shoulder to shoulder with replacement of the road and asphalt. I think it's premature at this point until we know what the scope of work is and we're into that. We do the road portion as a separate contract, then we can approach the county for some assistance. They can give us assistance on street work that they can't give us on sewer work. So it is a county road, and perhaps we can ask for Commissioner's Court to see if they can assist us with the restoration of the road surface and take that cost off of us or help defray that cost. That would be my plan. Any questions on that? Let me also clarify, the line's flowing. There is no disruption. It's not a collapse to where we don't have wastewater flowing. It's a void in the top portion, which is not something that's stopping the flow. So for this particular job, until they actually start construction, we're not looking at bypass pumping like we had to do on West Country Club, which also reduced that cost. The biggest issue we have is the disruption of traffic. As everyone knows, that's the main thoroughfare, particularly to the Yacht Club. We have a lot of people who don't know where they're going once they get off the beaten path to and from the Yacht Club. The detour signs that we put up over the weekend take traffic from Troyer's Boulevard all the way to Fairfield and then down Fairfield to Sunrise. I prefer to have the traffic on Fairfield as opposed to Seagrove or Forest or Meadow Lawn. There's only homes on one side of the road there. It's already designated as one of our major thoroughfare roads, so we'd like to take them up Byway or Sunrise to Fairfield and work around that. So we're really trying to keep the traffic off of these streets, and also we're trying to keep traffic off of Circle Park and Oakdale so that we get them where they're better managed. And I think, unfortunately, we're looking at probably 30 days or longer of having a detour. That being the case, the traffic pattern of those that are regular visitors should shift from Schroeder's Boulevard to Fairfield and make less of a problem through the residential. But we're fortunately that there at least is a workaround, and it's not going to disrupt sewer service. Now I'm done.